I'm reading the Bible tonight from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus.
Friends, 2 weeks ago, we were at the Carols event up just at the school, and I told a story of a recent visit to my chiropractor. And my chiropractor, the massage therapist, works on you first before the chiropractor does his work. And so the massage therapist, who was working on my back, and he asked me a deep question, and you've got to understand that this chiropractor said to me, he said, "I love my Christmas lights." He said, "I decorate my house beautifully. I love my lights, I love my nativity scene, but I love to put up a cross on the top of my lights display." And he said, "The problem with that is this. Some people love me putting up a cross on the top of my lights display, and some people hate it." I said, "I don't believe people care that much, really." But he said, "Some people love it, some people hate it. You're a pastor. What do you think about that? Am I allowed to put a cross on top of my nativity scene?" And friends, if we can go back one, yeah, just that one there. If you've ever been to Carn Street in Roselands, that's where that photograph is from up there, we noticed that there's a cross also on top of that huge light display. So he was asking me the question, "We're aware of that cross up there." And I said to him, "I don't really think it matters that much. I wouldn't put it up necessarily. But it makes sense to have a cross, because we go from the cradle to the cross. Jesus was born for the very purpose of going to the cross, to be our saviour, to die for our sins. And Joseph told the angel to call him Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. I then came home after carols, and I looked on my phone, I think it was the next morning, social media, and there's a story in the United States where the cross was causing havoc at Christmas. In Knightstown, Indiana, the star on the top of the Christmas tree had fallen off, and someone cheekily had put up a cross instead. The star came down, he put up a cross. But this is America. There's always going to be a lawsuit, right, in America. Then the American Civil Liberties Union of Indiana filed a lawsuit on behalf of one resident, Joseph Tompkins, who claims the cross on the top of the town Christmas tree has caused him irreparable harm. It argues that the religious symbol is a violation of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. He said he is forced to come into direct and unwelcome contact with the cross as he drives through town, only in America. And the lawsuit was seeking for the removal of the cross, monetary damages, and a declaration that the cross violates the First Amendment. And the officials from the town of over 2,200 residents say the cross will have to come down because they fear having a lawsuit, fearing losing that lawsuit. So what did the locals do in response? Well, they put their own light crosses on their properties, We go to the next picture there. They placed them in their yards and on their storefronts. Some even mounted them on their cars. There were crosses everywhere this Christmas in Indiana. And there were pro-cross vigils and protests in town. I've been involved in a protest this week, not so exciting as the one in Indiana. And protests in town, protesting the council willing to take the cross down. And then, in preparation for this service, Tim Shavura on drums said, "Oh, Annie's got a great song for Christmas. It's not about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sing for him at day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise man who travelled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's all about his precious blood that saved me from my sin." Jesus went from the cradle to the cross because he loves us deeply. And this Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Friends, we believe and teach, as the Bible teaches and the Christian church has taught for 2,000 years, that Jesus is God in human flesh, God the Son in human flesh. God entered our world. He entered our experience. He understands what it means to live on this planet with all the struggles, with all the pain and all the heartache and all the joys and all the fun and all the beauty around us. He's experienced that. In December 1903, I want you to picture this for a moment. The Wright brothers were trying to develop an aeroplane, a flying machine that would take off the ground. And they got it off the ground. They telegraphed this message to their sister Catherine. "We have actually flown 120 feet. They have flown somewhere 120 feet up. We will be home for Christmas." Catherine was so excited, she ran to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message. "We have actually flown 120 feet. We will be home for Christmas." He glanced at the report and he said, "How nice. The boys will be home for Christmas." He missed the big story. He missed the point of the telegram. They have flown somewhere. And friends, the truth is today many people miss the big story of Christmas, that God stepped into human history. God became flesh to be our Saviour. And when you think of God condescending in his Son, leaving the beauty of heaven, be born as one of us. It speaks of humility, it speaks of love, it speaks of mercy, it speaks of grace. The Creator becomes part of his creation. It is almost too much to believe. In fact, the Muslim religion calls it blasphemy that God would become man. Born in a little town called Bethlehem, no fancy hospital, not even a trendy home birth. Not even room in the Bethlehem Hotel for God the Son. Born in a barn, not even laid in a cot, placed in a manger, an animal feeding trough. And I remember that video we watched about confusion. Imagine the story. This is baby being born. Small, weak, seemingly impotent, unable to do anything, needs to be cared for by his parents, fed, cleaned, nappies changed. God the Son lowering himself ultimately to be our Saviour. Friends, the man who started Buddhism was a wealthy and powerful prince. The man who started Islam, Muhammad, was a renowned and fearsome warrior. The bloke who started Christianity was born in a shed. The humility of God, the condescension of God, the love of God. And Jesus spent most of his life unknown and ended up being executed as a criminal. But between his birth and his execution, he not only taught us the truth about God, he showed compassion to the lonely and the needy. He loved the poor and the outcast. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He wept with the hurting. He antagonized the religious leaders. He threatened the ruling authority, so much so that they put him to death. He experienced the pain of loneliness and rejection, injustice and torture. And I wonder whether today you are hurting as well this Christmas. I wonder whether you think God is so far from you, God is distant, God doesn't care about you. Maybe you're sick or lonely or depressed or rejected or unemployed or grieving or facing death maybe, spiritually empty or dry or spiritually dead, and you want meaning and purpose and someone to care for you. Friends, Christ stepped into human history to demonstrate his love for you. Come to him. Syrian Christians, come to Christ for help. Egyptian Christians, when their church was bombed only a couple of weeks ago, when many died, come to God for help, knowing that God loves them deeply and God stands on their side. A number of years ago, again, another picture, there's a family on holidays. We're at holiday time here in Sydney, Australia. They were down at the boathouse near the lake one summer. The man had a 12-year-old son and a 3-year-old son. Playing along the dock, and the 12-year-old was meant to look after the 3-year-old. He got distracted, and his little brother, 3-year-old, walked away. The little 3-year-old, as 3-year-olds do, thought he might like to try to get into the aluminium boat that was off the dock. Put his foot forward and fell in. The 12-year-old heard the splash, screamed. The father ran down the dock, dived in, went down to get him. Murky water. He came up one, struggling in panic, went down again to find him, about 6 foot deep. On his way up, he felt Billy's arms, Billy was a 3-year-old, locked in a death grip on one of the posts of the dock, about 4 feet under. He pried the boy's fingers loose and he burst up through the surface to fill their lungs with life-giving air. Finally, when the adrenaline had stopped surging and the nerves had calmed down a little bit, the father asked his son, "Billy, what on earth were you doing down there hanging onto the post so far under the water?" And Billy said, "I was just waiting for you, Dad. Just waiting. Just waiting for you, Dad." Friends, the people of Israel were waiting for God to come and save them. They thought it was going to be a political work of saving. They didn't quite understand the saving work of Jesus. They were waiting for God to step in, for God to do something. And God did step in. The Father came. The Father sent his Son to be the Saviour. And Matthew 1:21 says that Jesus means God saves. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save or rescue his people from their sins. If you didn't know, the name Jesus means God saves. It comes from the Old Testament name Joshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. That's why he was given that name. He will save his people from their sins by giving his life as a ransom for many. At Christmas, I find this the most difficult theme to get across to people. Is that true? For most people, Christmas is about food and family and presents and love and rest, and in Australia, the beach and swimming and boating and being refreshed. It's about the light shows at St. Mary's Cathedral, and isn't that absolutely outstanding every year? It's about carols nights, and 2,500 people come just to a little carols event that we run. People come out from everywhere for these special Christmas events. In fact, 91% of respondents said they like religious Christmas carols sung in public. 91% of respondents in a recent survey. Only 1.7% strongly object to them. We all love carols. We all love the feeling of Christmas, that we're together. It's family. We eat. We're happy. There's a baby being born. Who isn't happy when a baby's being born, right? It's a good time of the year for most of us. But when you read the Bible and it says he was born to rescue us from our sins, all of a sudden, what do you mean, sins? Let's not talk about sin at Christmas, right? Let's just talk about the birth of the baby and holy night and silent night and every other night, right? Let's talk about gifts. What a wonderful gift it was. How dare God put in the Bible, but he will save us from their sins. Could God have just left that bit out? Couldn't we just be happy and say everything is fine with the world as bombs go off in Syria, as bombs go off in churches in Egypt, as domestic abuse continues in our nation, as rape and torture happens all around the world? Let's just pretend it's all good and what a wonderful world we live in. And then the Bible speaks into our life with the truth. And it came to me in a very powerful way a few years ago. I was walking through Roseland Shopping Centre, and around Christmas they always love to play Christmas songs, and they often like to play Amazing Grace. And a former Australian Idol winner, Stan Walker, had a CD out, and one of the songs on his CD was Amazing Grace. It says, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." And I thought, isn't it interesting? We can mouth those words, the wider population can mouth those words, but do they really believe those words? A wretch is a miserable and worthless creature, a despicable or contemptible person. And we sing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound." I won't sing it because I can't sing. "That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see." And we do it with the smiles on our faces. What we're saying in that song is that we were in desperate trouble. We were wicked and evil. And we were under the judgment of God. And God rescued us. God saved us. And friends, you never will never come to Jesus and become a follower of Jesus, a genuine Christian, unless you realize that you're a wretch who needs saving, that he would be called Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. And I want to confess to you that I am a sinner, and my only hope is the fact that Jesus died for me on the cross. And he brings forgiveness and new life and the certainty of eternal life. Christmas reminds me that because of my sin, God stepped into human history. And because of my sin, because of his love for me, God went all the way to the cross for me. But it's not just for me, it's for you as well. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, physical death, and eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Friends, if there's one gift you want at Christmas, it's the gift of eternal life. Have you got it? Have you received it? Now, I know many of you have. You've trusted in Christ. You've turned from your sins. You've received the gift of eternal life. It's available to all of us who would dare to believe in Christ and find forgiveness. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God loves, God gives, whoever believes will have eternal life. Jesus went from the cradle to the cross and to the resurrection to make all of that possible. It's a story of a man who came to church. He didn't normally go to church. His friends prayed for him and invited him to church many times. He was probably in his 60s, 70s, maybe 80s at this stage. And one day, picture it, it's Christmas Day, he walked into church and sat in with everyone else. The sermon finished, the service finished, and there was a call for people to come and give their lives to Christ. And in setting, this man stood up and he walked forward in tears and he sat down at the front of the church. At the end of the service, as it finished, the pastor then sat with him, and this man repented of his sins, trusted in Jesus as his Saviour and Lord, and became a Christian. And yet, despite that good news, he was wrecked. He just wept and wept and wept. And the pastor says, "You have forgiveness now. You're a child of God. You have a certain future. Why are you still weeping?" He said, "Pastor, I've wasted it. I've wasted it." He said, "What do you mean you've wasted it? What have you wasted? You've just given your life to Christ. You have forgiveness. You have eternity." He said, "I've 70 or 80 years and I've wasted my life. I only have a few years to go on this earth and I've just wasted it." Let me say, if you're a younger person today, let me urge you not to waste your life. Sometimes people say, well, when I get older, then I'll think about Jesus. Don't waste your life and live it without purpose, without meaning and purpose. Engage with God now in your youth and find forgiveness and power and strength to live a life of profound difference and of eternal value. Maybe you're older, maybe you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and maybe some of you are in your 90s here tonight. And some of you, as you reflect on life, you think, I haven't done very much. In fact, I've wasted it. And I don't have long to go. And who's going to remember me when I go? What difference have I made to the world? Will my 80 years impact anyone for eternity? Friends, the same offer is given to you by God. Come to Him. Trust in Him. Find forgiveness. And if you've only got 1 year to go, or 10 years, or 30 years, use them for God's glory and for His honour. As one person has written, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I urge you to come to Christ this Christmas, find forgiveness, find the power to live a new life, and make a difference for God's glory. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for the message of Christmas, that Christ came to be a saviour, that Christ is God with us. And Lord, we thank you that we can celebrate that truth today because that has transformed our lives and brought us forgiveness and meaning and purpose and joy and hope and a direction in life. But Lord, I do pray for anyone tonight who has not yet started that relationship with you. Lord, maybe they're on that edge, willing to take a step of faith, but they're afraid to take that step. Lord, give them courage to take a step forward, to trust you for forgiveness and new life. Lord, work in people's hearts, I pray. Help people to trust you and to find new life in Christ this Christmas. And we pray it in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Friends, let me say, after the service today, if you'd like to know a little bit more about Jesus, there's a visitor's information notice board as people move from there a little bit later. You'll be able to get a little booklet there, a number of booklets that you might like to take and have a read for yourself. And we'd be happy to talk to you more about Christ and how to have a relationship with him. Let me also say on behalf of the pastoral team here at Ngawi Baptist Church, we just really value you, love you, and it's a great privilege to be serving with you again and to have served with you this year. We look forward to next year, and we want to wish you a very happy and safe Christmas and a wonderful new year serving Christ with all of your being. God bless you.